This is In Dark Places. Ancient Chinese Secret, huh? Episode 55. This is what we call the chit-chat segment of the show. And what a chit-chat. On Sunday night, April 3rd, I had just got off work and I thought I would go in to Big Lots. That's a store we have here in many states of America, and I don't think anywhere else. They used to sell stuff at like discount prices, cheaper than anywhere else, but it's about as high as anywhere else now. Everything's expensive. So I pulled into the parking lot at Big Lots, and immediately, as soon as I got out of my car, this woman came running up to me and said, "Sir, excuse me, sir. Sir, excuse me, sir. Can you help me? Are you in a hurry?" And I said, "I'm going to go in Big Lots. I don't know what you're talking about." She said, "My battery's dead. I need you to give me a boost." I said, "Yeah, I don't have any booster cables." Trying to kind of squirm my way out of it. She said, "You don't need any jumper cables. My dad worked in a junkyard. He showed me how to boost a car without using jumper cables. Come on, I'll show you how. I'm parked in this red Trailblazer over here." The whole time I was thinking, dude, this just ain't right. Just leave. Pull out of the parking lot. You'll never see this woman again. Just leave and go home. Everything in me was yelling, turn away, just go. But I had to be the nice gentleman and help out and everything. So I went over and I parked beside her vehicle. So I popped the hood and I was sitting there and she said, "Okay, I gotta take your battery out." And I was like, "How about what?" And the whole time I'm looking over my shoulder thinking that there's some dude just gonna come up and nail me from behind with a ball bat, but I didn't see anyone. And I tried to kind of squirm my way out of it again. I was like, "Well, I don't have any tools on me. I can't get my battery out." She said, "Oh, I've got some." I was like, "Oh, perfect." So she demonstrated the positive and the negative terminals on the battery and what have you. She said, "Okay, what you're going to need to do, make your posts touch mine. Your negative needs to touch my negative, and your positive needs to touch my positive. I'm going to turn the key, and you just touch them together whenever I turn the key." I was like, "Huh?" And she said, "Okay, I'll tell you when I'm ready." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, whatever, knock yourself out." So she got in, she turned the key. I touched the batteries together, thinking that I was going to explode any second. Sparks flying everywhere, and nothing happened. Her vehicle didn't start. So she started yelling, "You gotta touch them together!" Yeah, I am. She said, "I want to turn the key again, you touch them together." I said, "Okay, that's what I'm doing." So I started touching them together again when she turned the key, and nothing happened. So then she just starts yelling like crazy, shouting obscenities and everything. "No, you've got to touch them together, I'm telling you, slap them things together." So I did it again, and nothing happened. Every time she yelled a little more. "Come on, slap them things together, hit it harder." I said, "You know what, why don't you do this part, and I'll turn the key." But, yeah, she didn't want any part of that. She wanted to stay inside and keep turning the key, leaving me the hard work. So I tipped it over again to touch my battery to hers, and the whole time I was dumping battery acid everywhere, and she started yelling about that thing. "You're getting acid everywhere! Slap those things together! Come on, hurry up!" And then finally, for some odd reason, her vehicle started. She jumped out. She said, "Here, I'll put your battery back in for you." So she took my battery and she put it back in my car. She said, "Start your car, make sure it's going to start." I'm like, "Okay, what did you do to my battery?" But, yeah, my car started right up. So it was a neat little trick. And the woman was just a little bundle of joy. She started walking back toward her vehicle. She turned around and said, "Thank you very much. I'll never forget you." Okay, have a good one. So, yeah, the whole thing was just stinking to high heaven. She had to have stole that vehicle or something. I don't know if I was an accessory to some kind of crime or what just happened. But I went back to Big Lots and did my business in there and I went home. Hey, wait just a minute. I'm being told we have Cryptid Corner.
Hey there, it's your friend Mr. Haunted with this week's Cryptid Corner. This one was sent in to us by Little Fish, a.k.a. Chicken Pie. We're going to talk about Dogman a little bit. So what is a Dogman, and how many sightings have there been? The beast has been spotted in 38 of 50 states, and sightings have been reported from Norway to Brazil. According to myth, most dogmen have canine-like legs, but around 5% look like large muscular humans with dog heads. Despite a vast number of sightings, dogman attacks are thought to be relatively rare. Dogman researcher Vic Cundiff says, "Less than 1% of the eyewitnesses who have shared their encounters with me claim to have been attacked by the dogman they encountered." So I'm going to share with you one of those less than 1% stories, because those are the fun ones. Man claims he was stalked by terrifying dogman monster in Australian outback, and he even says he has picture proof. So the fisherman, called John, wildly claims he was left petrified for a month after encountering the supposed half-dog, half-human creature on two separate occasions. Lucky. Speaking on the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast, the Aussie insisted he was followed by what he has branded a dogman and claims he thought he was going to be killed. John was fishing from his kayak on Boxing Day last year when he says the first incident happened. "I noticed that every time I took a stroke with the paddle of my kayak, whatever this thing was, it was taking a stride to each paddle I was taking," he said. "I stopped for a bit, and the sound stopped in the bush too, and I thought it was a bit odd. So I start off paddling again, and sure enough, as soon as I start to paddle every stroke, this thing would take a step. So whatever it was, the thing was following me. It wasn't a coincidence or anything, it was more of a stalk." Freaked out, John took a snap and claims he captured the dog man on camera. The creature I actually got in the photo, what I think it is, I've spoken to a few people, and I reckon it's a dog man. After that, I couldn't go back to the area to check it out for myself. I was petrified for probably a month after that. I was waking up in the middle of the night seeing the creature in my dreams. Although he was petrified, John once again returns to the bush for another fishing trip and says he heard a bit of a bang, followed by the sound of someone or something running. As it was running, it was smashing trees out of the way. I don't know if they were breaking or it was hitting them. You couldn't see what the bush was like because it was so thick. John said the dog man then started to roar as he spent 10 minutes trying to escape back to the safety of his car. "I'd never seen anything like it in my life," he said. "It would roar, and then it would take a breath in, and the breath it was taking was actually louder than the roar it was doing. This creature just went to another level, and it was crazy. I could hear in my head something saying, 'Go now or you'll die.' And it wasn't my own voice, my own consciousness. It was something else. That 10 minutes was probably the longest of my whole life. I thought I was going to be killed. I had no weapons, didn't even have my fishing knife, no phone service." Despite his outlandish claims, John has insisted he's not barking up the wrong tree with the suggestion of a dogman existing and fear someone could get hurt. He said, "I heard about the dogman and thought it was a joke. But actually, I've had encounters with it now, and it is terrifying." So, I don't know, John. It's time to stop fishing in the general area there. Back to In Dark Places. Thanks, little fish.
We've got a few news stories to talk about. So, let's put a feather in our cap and call it macaroni. Bombshell FBI memo reveals that a UFO did crash in Roswell, New Mexico, by Dave Bassner. Thanks, Dave. In 1947, something crashed outside of Roswell, New Mexico, and was brought to Roswell Army Airfield by Army officers. Since then, there has been many a discussion about what exactly that object was. That's because soon after the incident, the Roswell Army Airfield issued a press release announcing that they had recovered a flying disc. The Army was quick to retract that and say it was actually just a weather balloon. Then in the 1970s, a retired Army officer who retrieved pieces from the crash came out to say he believed it was extraterrestrial. The conspiracies continued, and in 1994, the Air Force published a report calling the object that crashed a nuclear test surveillance balloon, and any alien bodies were just test dummies dropped from high altitude. Rather than stopping all the talk about it being a UFO, that only added fuel to the fire. Now, thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, a very interesting document has come to light. It is currently in the FBI's vault, which contains thousands of records released via Freedom of Information Act that have been scanned and uploaded. The Roswell document is a 1950 internal memo to J. Edgar Hoover, the director of the FBI, from the head of Washington, D.C. field office. The subject of the memo is flying saucers, and it describes how an Air Force investigator reported that three flying saucers were recovered in New Mexico. The memo went on to describe how each craft had three bodies, human-shaped, but only 3 feet tall, dressed in metallic cloth of a very fine texture. The report alleges that the incident happened in New Mexico because of a very high-powered radar device that the government has there, which interfered with the UFO's controlling mechanisms. The memo is pretty shocking, but the FBI stepped in to explain why it shouldn't be. They point out that the memo is actually just a second-hand account of what might have happened. One, the Bureau never investigated. They also said that because the document was dated 1950, 3 years after the Roswell incident, it might not even be referring to what occurred in Roswell. They went on to state that the document has been around for years, and just because it has appeared on the FBI's vault doesn't mean it is earth-shattering. That's not stopping conspiracy theorists who aren't buying what the FBI is saying about it and fully believe the report.
Wow, we have a breaking news story for you. A bar gets unexpected guest when a deer crashes through front window at this pub located in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. They also shared a video, a security footage video of the deer break-in. You could look that up if you want. What shows in this video is a herd of deer running amok just outside before one crashed through the window. The video was viewed 400,000 times since it was shared on March 22nd, shows the deer scattering in front of Dublin's Irish pub. One leapt through the window, and the other members of the herd ran in different directions, all willy-nilly, as the video ended. According to the Human Rescue Alliance, deer can be easily frightened. The organization encourages people to give deer space to move around and find a way to move away from an area on their own, as trying to help them may result in a difficult situation. Another hazard to deer are windows, especially during the fall months when deer are looking for a mate. Bucks will become territorial during this time. They have been known to crash through windows after seeing their reflection and believe it is a, you know, they look in the mirror, they look in the window and go, hey, that guy's hot, and they go after them, yeah, themselves. The pub also shared some photos of what the window looked like after the deer jumped through it. The deer left a sizable hole in the window and shattered glass on the floor. The third photo showed that the window was boarded up. The bartender was in the restaurant section of the pub and assumed some glasses broke before he realized a deer was inside. They chased it around the bar a little bit and it ran out the door finally. It was a quick incident, and he said the deer was inside no longer than 2 minutes. Aside from the window, nothing was broken. Many Facebook viewers tagged their friends to watch the viral clip, while others shared their thoughts on the situation. Those are my favorite things. Okay, now we have a couple comments from the Peanut Gallery here. Oh, dear, spelled D-E-E-R, of course. I bet that cost them a few bucks. Okay. Or a little dough, D-O-E. Somebody else says, is venison on the menu now? And one commenter asked jokingly, our beer nuts are $1.50 and deer nuts are under a buck. Okay, I see where they're going here. Breaking news.
And now here's the Nicolas Cage Meltdown of the Week.
No, don't move it! What is it? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! Oh, my eyes! My eyes!
And we have the Nicolas Cage Meltdown of the Week. Here's the Jim Carrey Meltdown of the Week.
Oh, that's it. I've had it with this dump. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Okay, just calm down.
And there's Jim Carrey with a meltdown of the week. He's giving Nicolas Cage a run for his money, because that was a pretty good meltdown. Mutant goat born hairless with jet black skin is hailed a miracle by locals. By Samantha Morty and Fizza Uze. Thanks, Fizza and Samantha. A one-of-a-kind mutant baby goat has become the main attraction at a local village after it was born hairless, with locals calling it a miracle. Asien and Asiel Tosin, who work in agriculture and animal husbandry, were stunned when the goat came out jet black with wrinkled skin. They even dressed the goat in baby clothes and bottle fed the new addition in the farm where they live in Mersin, Turkey. News of the goat slowly spread, and when he was just 5 days old, he began to receive curious visitors with their cameras at the ready. The couple's relative, Suleiman Demir, said, "I'm 67 years old, and this is the first time I've encountered anything like this. God Almighty sent this miracle here. We've seen a double-headed animal, but we've never seen anything like him." Adopted mom, Aisil, still pampers the kid and said, "I take him to his mother to suckle. I dress him in my grandchildren's clothes. I bring him home and feed him if he needs be. He has no hair, and this is the first time I've seen anything like it. I look after him like he's a child." Aisil said, "The kid sometimes has a fever, and then I give him my grandchildren's syrup and an injection. When one of the twin kids was stillborn, and one turned out to be abnormal, I thought he would die too, but he didn't." And he's a creepy looking little thing, I'll tell you that. I'll put the pictures in the YouTube version so you can check him out. And for the non-YouTube version, I have a link in the description.
I have some sad news to report. People from my generation might remember a guy named C.W. McCall, who is best known for his massive 1975 hit Convoy, has died after a battle with cancer. The Washington Post reports that McCall died on Friday, April 1st, at his home in Ouray, Colorado. He was 93 years old. McCall, whose real name was Bill Fries, was an advertising executive in the early 70s, and he first conceived the character of C.W. McCall for the 1973 advertising spot for Old Home Bread. That ad spot won a Clio Award, which led Fries, performing as the character from the commercial, who was a truck driver, to record a number of albums filled with humor-tinged songs, many of which referenced outlaw country themes and the life of a long-haul driver. McCall scored a string of hit country singles from 1974 to 1978 that include Old Home Filler Up and Keep On Truckin' Cafe, Wolf Creek Pass, Classified, There Won't Be No Country Music, There Won't Be No Rock and Roll, and Roses for Mama. But his biggest hit by far was Convoy, which reached number one in January of 1976. Recorded at the height of the CB radio craze, the song became a cultural touchstone, even inspiring a major motion picture in 1978 that starred Kris Kristofferson, Ally McGraw, and Ernest Borgnine. Following his run of success in music, McCall even went on to serve as mayor in RA, Colorado from 1986 to 1982. And I remember that was a big deal when I was a kid, the CB radio lingo. I'm going to try to find some terms for you, see if you remember these. A baby bear was a rookie police officer. A bear, see Smokey, police officer. Bear trap, radar trap. An Evel Knievel was a police officer on a motorcycle. Eye in the Sky was police aircraft, airplane, or helicopter. I guess the basic goal in life was to get away from the police. A Flying Donut was a police helicopter. A Fox in the Hen House was an unmarked police vehicle. An aircraft carrier was a tractor trailer carrying a disassembled aircraft, helicopter, or small plane. Well, they had everything covered here. Buster Brown was a UPS truck. A dung beetle was a Volkswagen Beetle with a male driver. I don't know. There's tons of these here. But I remember that being a big deal. I even had a deck of CB lingo playing cards so you could learn the lingo. But anyways, rest in peace, C.W. McCall.
Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Boy, yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Was it dark the moon? This is June. Listen to that at your own leisure. Over and out, CW.
Injuries following reported UFO sightings, likely caused by advanced technology. Former Pentagon official by Hannah Grossman. Thanks, Hannah. The former director of a Pentagon unit that studied UFOs called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program said that recently declassified reports showing a connection between the sightings and burns, paralysis, and brain damage is likely the result of contact with advanced technology. Well, I think it's fair to say at this point that this is probably not some sort of adversarial technology we're dealing with, said Louis Elizondo Wednesday on Tucker Carlson Tonight. Elizondo likened the biological damage apparently connected to UFO encounters to getting too close to the engine of an airplane. If I'm in a cockpit or in an aircraft, there's no real threat. But if I stand behind the engine when the engine is firing up, chances are I'm going to get burned. I'm going to lose my hearing. There are medical consequences, he said. The question is it deliberate? Is it a product of the technology? Or is it a product of something else? And we think right now, and again, let me just preface preliminary speaking, it's probably just a consequence of the advanced technology. Elizondo cautioned that the UFO sightings listed in the reports were not just Grandma saw some lights in her backyard. These are military eyewitnesses. In some cases, they're fighter pilots or they're security personnel that have come up close and personal with a UFO, he told host Tucker Carlson. This isn't just pseudoscience, he said. I was part of the program. I ran the program for the better part of 8 years on this topic. It's absolutely real. The former director said that it is because of pressure from Congress and the media that the reports were declassified. Finally, our government is beginning to become more transparent about this topic and tell the truth about the topic. I wasn't
at liberty to have this conversation years ago, he said.
Wow. Wait till you hear this one.
The wheels on the bus. All right. The wheels on the bus go round and round.
70-year-old who kidnapped bus full of children, buried them alive, approved for parole. A 70-year-old man convicted in the kidnapping of a bus full of children and burying them for a ransom in 1976 has been approved for parole. According to CNN, Frederick Newhall Woods was one of three men who kidnapped 26 children and their bus driver in Northern California, drove them more than 100 miles away, placed them in a moving truck, and buried them alive in a quarry owned by his father. The kidnappers then demanded $5 million in ransom. After spending 16 hours underground, the driver and the children were able to dig their way out and escape. The crime was considered the largest mass kidnapping in U.S. history. Woods and his accomplices, Richard and James Schoenfeld, were sentenced to life sentences without the possibility of parole. However, an appeals court overturned that sentence. Richard Schoenfeld was paroled in 2012 and his brother James in 2015. Woods read an apology for his crime at Friday's parole hearing, his 18th since becoming eligible for parole in the early 1980s. "I've had empathy for the victims, which I didn't have then," Woods said. "I've had a character change since then. I was 24 years old," he added. "Now I fully understand the terror and trauma I caused. I fully take responsibility for this heinous act." CNN reported that several of the victims say they still have nightmares and anxiety due to this incident.
All through the town. All through the town.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Turns out the mega comet is more than 80 miles wide and is headed our way. By Tony Hotran. Last year, the monstrous Bernardelli-Bernstein comet was discovered by the eponymous University of Pennsylvania astronomers Gary Bernstein and Pedro Bernardelli. The pair called it the nearly spherical cow of comets in their paper about the discovery, but it wasn't long until the world dubbed it the mega comet for being an absolute unit of a space object. While the mega comet fell out of the mainstream space news spotlight, NASA astronomers set the Hubble Space Telescope sights on the object in the months since and discovered how truly immense it is. A new paper published in the Astrophysical Journal Letters on Tuesday confirmed that Bernardelli-Bernstein had a nucleus, the icy core, at the center of all comets. It's more than 80 miles wide. It's roughly 50 times larger than other comets and the largest ever observed. This comet is literally the tip of the iceberg for many thousands of comets that are too faint to see in the more distant parts of our solar system, said David Jewett, a professor of planetary science and astronomy at the UCLA and co-author of the study, said in a NASA press release. "We've always suspected this comet had to be big because it's so bright at such a large distance. Now we confirm it is." Even with the imagery provided by the Hubble, scientists still had their work cut out for them in sussing out the precise size. After all, the mega comet is still incredibly far away, so the team had to process images taken of the comet by the Hubble in a computer model, which gave them an approximate estimation of its mass. Now astronomers can confirm that the Bernardelli-Bernstein comet is much larger than any other comet ever discovered. The previous record was held by C2002VQ94, my favorite, which had a nucleus of more than a mere 60 miles across. Disconcertingly, the megacomet is on an interstellar road trip that'll bring it right through our solar system in 2031. Luckily for us, it's not expected to get any closer than a billion miles away from the Sun, passing between Saturn and Uranus's respective orbits. This won't be the first time it's made such a trip either, since most comets observed originated from the collision of space rocks that created Earth long ago. In fact, the megacomet is following a 3 million year long elliptical orbit, so it's been a minute since we've last seen it. Its next approach in 9 years will provide astronomers with a very rare opportunity to closely study an object that might still contain remnants from the early solar system. With the mighty James Webb Space Telescope unfurled and in orbit, there's a chance we could get an even more in-depth look at the comet than ever before. "It's pristine," Bernadelli told the Daily Beast last year. "Not a lot has happened to this object since its formation in the early days of the solar system, and so we can think of it as a window into the past." Okay, that's about all we got for right now. Thanks for listening to our goofiness. God bless you guys, and see ya.